A pleasant good morning to each one in our listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to the Seeds of Truth, brought to you by the Rivermont Church of Christ. We meet at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Last Saturday, I began a series of lessons concerning God's scheme of redemption. I spoke on the subject of salvation by grace, pointing out that if a man is saved, it'll be by the grace of God. It will not be according to the various rites or ceremonies that we may do, nor will it be by our own meritorious works. Jehovah does not bestow salvation based upon his obligations toward what we might do. We simply cannot work our way into heaven, but this does not rule out our obedience to every command issued by our Lord. With this lesson as our background, we study this morning a second lesson on the general theme, the scheme of human redemption. Your speaker is Robert Swain. The subject for this morning is faith. In every age and dispensation, faith has been a condition of pardon. God has never saved a sinner without faith, and he could not do so, for in the very nature of conversion, the sinner must believe and trust God in order to receive forgiveness. The Bible everywhere emphasized the necessity of faith. In a very familiar passage, John 3 and verse 16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in verse 18, he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And in verse 36, Jesus adds, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 8 and 24, Jesus says, "For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and 16. When the gospel began to be proclaimed, beginning at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you remember how faith was laid down as a condition of salvation, and the apostles and other preachers of the first century refused to baptize sinners unless they believed in Christ. When the Ethiopian nobleman who had heard the gospel desired to be baptized, Philip the evangelist told him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God," and upon this confession of his faith, Philip baptized him. Acts 8, 26 through 39. When preaching the gospel to the house of Cornelius, Peter declared, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Acts 10 and 43. And upon that faith, he commanded them to be what? Baptized, verse 48. When the gospel was preached at Antioch in Syria for the first time, it said that a great number believed and turned unto the Lord, Acts 11, 21. When Paul preached the gospel in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts 13, 38 and 39. When Paul preached the gospel in the synagogue at Iconium, he said, "So speak that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Acts 14 and 1. When the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" What did Paul say? "Put your hand on the radio and receive the sinner's prayer." Or, "You already believe in your heart, you know you're a Christian, Mr. Jailer." No, Paul immediately replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house," Acts 16 and 31. And then